This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington catching up with Neil Acree, and it is so much fun to have a chance to talk with you again.
Likewise.
You know, we talked a couple years ago, and our conversation included your soundtrack for the game Rend from Frostkeep Studios that you were still in the process of working on. And the soundtrack has just been released, and we'll get to talking about that too, which is fantastic. And most recently, you released a single from what's going to be a complete album. The single's called One World, and it just blew me away. It's so exuberant and so joyous. And I know you've said it just was so much fun to finally put it out there.
Yeah, it's one of these things that's been brewing for about 13 years now. I started working on just kind of some music for myself, writing a song here and there. 5 years would go by, I'd write another couple songs, and at some point I realized I should do something with these. I should make a full album, and I realized I don't have quite enough material for a full album, so I thought I'd write some more material, and that's kind of that One World came out of that. And strangely enough, it's completely different than anything else on the album in that it's probably the halfway point between what people know me for, meaning the, you know, orchestral, epic, you know, game music style thing, and a little bit of electronic stuff. The album is the majority of it's a lot more electronic driven, but still has those elements of orchestra and some, you know, soul stuff. Just very different, and it's much more personal. And, you know, the challenge of doing something like this is not only is there nobody there to tell you how it has to be or what it has to be or when it has to be done or anything. So I'm really kind of up against my own expectations for that. The other challenge, too, is you're putting something out there that nobody asked you to make. Nobody said, hey, we want to hear you do this kind of stuff. I'm doing it for myself because I think at this point in my life and in my career, I've had this kind of itch to put something out there that was more personal. And if people respond to it, then great. If not, you know, at least it's finally out and not, you know, clawing its way out of my brain.
Well, I've been so impressed with it. And now that you mentioned that it's a kind of a sort of a bridge between your music for World of Warcraft and Overwatch and the other music that you've been writing for Tencent games, I can totally hear how it's a kind of a fusion of all of those different styles. And at this year's Game Developers Conference, you were on a panel with other composers helping or talking about reconciling your need for perfection and yet, you know, balancing that with the demands from a studio or pleasing clients. And so, yeah, it must have been a really interesting experience to have only yourself to please.
Yeah, and harder, actually, because at least with a client, you know, you kind of can remove yourself from the expectations. And sometimes the expectations of the client can be very high and they want something you don't know what to give them. But all you can at least remove yourself from that and say, I'm going to give you the best I can. And then you tell me what about it is not meeting your expectations or what you were picturing differently. With me, I'll come up with something working for myself and be like, something about this isn't working and I don't know what that is. So I'm kind of fighting against my own, trying to find my way there. And at some point you piece together, you come up with enough variables and enough left little points in the picture, and eventually the image starts to become clear. And once it does, then it's just a matter of fleshing it in and making it sound as good as it can. But you know, just the starting point of you know, the blank page thing is the worst with this kind of stuff. You know, you don't even know where to start. And actually I look back at everything I've done for this album and I couldn't tell you how or why any of the pieces, where they came from. It's just kind of all, they just happened. And that's kind of the beauty of a project like this. You can explore, just follow your instinct and let inspiration guide you where it will. And that's why it's taken 13 years to get to this point, you know?
Well, it must have been a real challenge too, because normally when you're working for a studio, you've got a story or concept art or the characters or something to start with and kind of generate ideas. And yet, yeah, here you are with a blank slate. So what kind of is the story behind One World?
Well, that one kind of, as it evolved, and with a lot of my music, I like to combine different elements together that wouldn't necessarily go together. And there's something in that juxtaposition that kind of, the magic happens, I think. And it's part of the reason why I called the album The Velvet Machine, which is, it's a callback to originally 13 years ago, I was going to have like a side band, a side electronic pseudonym called The Velvet Machine. And eventually decided to just, make an album and call it that as a tribute. And so the idea is, velvet and machine are these two contrasting elements, that the music, I wanted to have these, very kind of elegant orchestral strings combined with some more gritty electronics, or just, these just elements that were contrasting but worked well together. So this song was, I was playing with this string melody and kind of came up with this driving electronic groove, nothing out of the ordinary. And then something made me think, what if I threw like an African children's choir on top of this? And
I was going to ask you what that was, because it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's not really expected, or there's no real specific reason for it being there. But in the process of combining the elements, I started to kind of see this vision of, you have African children's choir. I had a soloist named Uyanga Bold, who's of Mongolian descent, and then this, Western orchestral background and electronics. And it kind of, I started seeing this vision of, a world coming together, and how much political message can you put into an instrumental piece? I didn't want to make a huge message out of it, but to me, it kind of represents the idea that we have one world to share between us as a people, and both from an environmental perspective as well as from a world peace perspective. And it feels, the words sound silly coming out of my mouth. It's not like, trying to be the ideals are very lofty, that's what I'm trying to say. So I wanted it to kind of, to me, it just kind of represented the idea of everyone coming together and sharing the world for, as long as we can, because we have limited resources and, limited patience between cultures and things. Thank you.
the whole effect is just so, so joyous. And it just, I got totally swept away by it. And Uyanka Bold is just incredible. Oh my gosh, her vocal range is amazing. And you worked with her before on some of your music for Overwatch,
a couple of times,
right?
Yeah, I worked with her on the Dragons cinematic for Overwatch, as well as on Revelation. Revelation was the first time I worked with her. And what was amazing about her is not just the quality of, you know, the intonation and the emotion behind her performance, but and we work remotely, like I do with all the singers. Almost all the singers I've ever worked with has been kind of, they'll live in another country or state, or Yanga lives in LA where I live, but just with schedules, sometimes it's easier just to say, this is what I need, can you send me the tracks? And I asked for some specific things, and she gave me like 10 times more things than I asked for. And some of them were, you know, just took the piece in a completely different direction. And she gave me these building blocks to build something. So with One World, originally it was like a minute and a half long. And she gave me these alternate takes that were, you know, this operatic kind of melody, and it just kind of evolved into this much bigger piece that wouldn't have been the same if I had just had her sing exactly what I wrote.
Well, it must be so cool when you get to know a singer and you get to know their qualities that you've come to depend on for a particular project, and then have them surprise you like that. That's just so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've worked with some really amazing singers, you know, like Laurie Ann House and Julie Elvin and Celica Soul Dream, all these amazing singers who all have a different quality. And it's kind of like casting, you know, a director would cast a movie, like who has the right range, who has the right sound, the right approach, and then each of them kind of brings something special to it. So I'm very lucky to have been able to work with all of them.
Oh yeah, for sure. And who were some of the other collaborators that you worked with on this?
On this one was, I wrote it myself, and then I had Michael Tuller from, we'd worked together on the Animal World soundtrack a year ago, the Chinese movie. He mixed it for me, and then I recorded the strings in LA at East West Studios with an amazing string section put together by Mark Robertson, his contractor, and that was about a year ago. I had originally planned on releasing the album last year, but you know, life kind of took over and had the busiest year of my life, and it's kind of difficult to write music when you write music full time every day.
Yeah, writing music in your spare time too.
Yeah.
But I guess that's sort of the beauty of having a project that's only to please yourself and of course your audience too, your fans, but you don't have this pressure of benchmarks that you have to hit and deadlines and all of that. So
yeah, they're all self-imposed.
Right. Well, the other thing that must be kind of a challenge is because you do have all of this time and you're setting your own deadline. I mean, how do you decide when a piece like this is done?
That's a great question, because yeah, with a, you know, a game project or something, you know, it's the deadline is when they tell you, you know, it's done when the, you know, time runs out. Whereas with this, I think I got it to a point where I realized it was the best I could possibly get it. And I spent 6 months mixing it myself, just, you know,
wow,
like obsessing over it, you know, and not like every single day, but I'd keep coming back to it and polishing it and tweaking it. And at one point I realized, you know, I'm not able to get it to sound any better than this. It's not going anywhere. So I handed it to Michael and he took it to a different level. And then he and I went back and forth and, you know, tweaked it even more for a few months. And then the final version, I did another pass on it. And then at that point, it's like, it's done. I gotta call it on this and send it to get mastered. And, you know, in the end there are things I still hear in it that I would change, but that's kind of, I think that's the case with the majority of the things I do. I get to a point where I feel like at this moment in time, this is the best I can do. And I just let it go. And then I'll hear it years later and be like, I wish I, you know, would have done this or that. And there's every once in a while, there's a piece I'll write where I'm like, no, I wouldn't have changed anything, you know, somehow, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, 2020 hindsight, I'm sure there are always things, but it must be, yeah, it must be a nice feeling when you can look back on something, especially something that you had to write in a really big hurry and say, no, it was good.
Yeah. <Don't>,
well, when, do you have any idea when the rest of the album will be ready to be released?
I don't. I wish I did. And, you know, I was contemplating holding back the single until I had the album completely ready, but it had been so long since I had announced it and even since I had started it that I wanted to at least get the ball rolling, get something out there so people could hear what I was talking about. I plan to release the second single in the next month or two, and then beyond that, hopefully, you know, get the full album out by the end of this year. That would be ideal, but it's hard to, you know, with so many other things going on in my life, it's difficult to kind of pinpoint a schedule for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But in the meantime, this is available everywhere. Any kind of place where you get your audio fix, you can find it, right?
Yep, the single is out there right now. And the second single will be the title track of the album, The Velvet Machine. And that one's quite a bit different. That's a little more like a kind of Depeche Mode, kind of driving 100% electronic kind of thing, very different. And that one I'm really curious to hear how people respond to it, because it's, you know, it's all the way in the other direction, unlike anything I've done before.
It must be really cool to kind of step out of your comfort zone and really work it with a completely different sound.
It is. It's very freeing. The challenge, of course, is, you know, finding a starting point. But once I'm able to get started and I can step back and just get out of the way and let it take me where it does, then it's really exciting to see where it does take me.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the rest of it. It's going to be really cool.
Thank you.
When we talked a couple years ago, you were still working on the soundtrack for Rend from Frostkeep Studios, and you were kind enough to send me some tracks that really weren't quite finished yet, but at least I could hear kind of the general idea of where you were going with the soundtrack, which is incredible. And now the soundtrack is out on Bandcamp, which is fabulous, and then it's going to be released on July 12th. Everywhere else. And so why did you decide to release it on Bandcamp first?
Well, it's my first release on Bandcamp, and I've, you know, everything I've done has been for other companies that, you know, handled the soundtrack release, and it's my first opportunity to release something on Bandcamp, and I wanted to kind of kick it off by you know, giving everyone a chance to get the 48K 24-bit high-res version of it a week before the other outlets. Yeah, just a little incentive to check it out over there first.
Yeah, well, what's so interesting about the way you've crafted the sound for Rend, it's inspired by Norse mythology, and you mentioned that kind of got you thinking about really ancient instruments, because the player starts basically with nothing and has to like craft things from the world. And you put together this amazing ensemble of soloists, Einar Selvik, who is a singer with Wardruna, whose voice, he just sounds like a Viking. He's amazing. And Selika Solstream and Rachel Nesvig, a Hardanger fiddle. It's just all these amazing people. And it's really fascinating now to hear them played off against this larger ensemble. You also brought in the City of Prague Philharmonic. And so what was kind of the inspiration to expand the soundtrack?
Well, the game itself, in that period of time, you know, a lot can change in the course of 2 years. You know, the original version of the game was, you know, had a relatively small area of zones, like 3 or 4 different zones, and Frostkeep decided they wanted to expand beyond that and added a lot of different added like this kind of Scottish Highlands influenced zone, this frozen tundra, these kind of spider marshes, and like really interesting areas. And kind of the original scope of the score had to change quite a bit to accommodate that. But that was exciting because, you know, originally I was kind of, you know, influenced by the fact that you're having to survive and kind of craft these machines out of, you know, crude instruments. So I was inspired to bring in instruments that themselves were these ancient machines, in a sense, you know, like the hurdy-gurdy or the hardanger fiddle, which has, you know, this, you know, kind of resonating droning quality to it. They all kind of had this, you know, ancient machine quality to them. So the idea was a lot kind of smaller, and the music was a lot simpler, a little more kind of these building blocks of pieces that kind of evolved over time, because as a player, you can be doing a lot of different things, from crafting to, you know, fighting beasts that have jumped out. You are fighting your fellow players, your competitors. But as the zones grew and the scope grew, then it kind of made sense to maybe bring in some, you know, orchestral elements, and there's some, you know, kind of the Avatar, James Horner influence kind of things, just because that, you know, the world has all these bioluminescent, kind of magical creatures and plants and things that there's a wonder that was added to it. And I think the...
Oh, that's a great word. Sorry. Yeah.
I think the orchestra, you know, is the go-to, my go-to, and a lot of people's go-to for, you know, wonderment and beauty and lushness. And so that kind of, you know, found its way into a lot of the music. And you know, the original idea of keeping it very kind of Norse and Scandinavian, it didn't quite cover everything anymore. Even the Scottish Highlands, as I mentioned, I had to use bagpipes because it just felt wrong not to.
Well, I love the Highlands 1 track because of the way you've used these ancient sounding instruments, including the pipes, but there's some fiddles in there too. And then the way the orchestra comes in, it's really subtle, but all of a sudden everything just comes to life and you really feel like you're there. So that's just a phenomenal track.
Thank you.
Thank you. Was it difficult to find ways of using the recordings? You know, in some cases, you had recorded some of these musicians a couple of years ago, or maybe even longer. What were some of the challenges with kind of merging them with the newer recordings with the orchestra?
Well, a lot of the stuff I had written a couple of years ago stayed, those pieces stayed separate. And then what I just was adding new music to it. You know, the orchestral music was all newly written, and then the soloist that I added for the new pieces was all freshly recorded with different soloists and at a different studio. So it kind of just was building and expanding, and obviously the challenge there was to keep everything cohesive, to make it fit with the previous thing. But it's funny you mentioned that, because I was mixing, you know, I remixed everything for the album and made sure it was brand new and sounded the best it could. And on my list of things to do, I had all, you know, all these other pieces. I never even thought about the main title, because I thought, okay, that's, I polished that to perfection, or what I thought was perfection 2 years ago. I don't have to worry about that. And then I'm, you know, getting ready to finalize the album, and I listened through everything, and I'm like, wait a minute, that main title doesn't sound anywhere near where it could be. It could be so much better, just the mix wise. So I found myself, you know, it's working on a project that it's, you know, the music's long since been signed off on, and, you know, everyone's moved on to other things. And I'm sitting there spending like 3 days remixing this thing, but it deserved more, you know, with Einar's voice is needed. The percussion needed to be bigger and punchier and more driving. And I just, you know, had to put some more time into it. as an album, you know, there's always the challenge of making it listenable, because I have, for every zone, for every piece on the album, there's three or four different versions, alternate versions and things. And, you know, you can't just put like, you know, three or four versions of the same piece back to back. You can, but it, you know, gets to be boring. So picking the best version, in some cases, editing two versions together to get all the musical ideas into one track.
The Bounty of Alfheim is so interesting. That's one of the newer tracks that evolved as the game got bigger. And that one, the way you reused the main theme is subtle, but again, you know, it reminds us that this is all part of the same world. So that one in particular is like really effective.
Yeah, that was, you know, as far as using themes, it was important to make sure that everything kind of was connected thematically. And at some point, I think I had used that, the main theme, in a few things. And I was like, I don't want to overdo it. So yeah, I ended up doing the Highlands theme and, you know, working that into the, you know, the second piece, which is actually the login music for the game. I just wanted to have everything feel connected, like one big work, but also kind of take you on this little journey, be like a travelogue of all the different areas in the game. You know, in some cases it's, you know, relaxing and ambient, and, you know, you can close your eyes and just be transported away. And then some stuff you probably wouldn't want to listen to in the dark because it's really creepy or, you know, big and scary.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The Hunt is definitely, actually, what I was thinking about listening to that one is the apparently in England, when the, you know, in the Middle Ages, they would pray, God protect us from the Vikings. And that's what it reminded me of, because it really is terrifying.
Oh, awesome.
And that gives Celica like a real chance to shine too. And how did you find her in the first place?
Strange enough, through a sample library, which, you know, there's Eduardo Tarilonte, I believe, has this series of sample libraries that, you know, has a lot of cool medieval sounds and exactly the kind of, you know, Wardruna style sounds that I wanted to use on this. There's a lot of good stuff. And then he had one library that had this vocal sound that was like really powerful, and you just hit a note and it's like shakes the ground kind of thing. It's really important as you're writing a piece to, for me, some people are pencil and paper kind of composers, but I build everything in real time. I hear it back as it's being composed, which is how I'm mixing it as I go. I'm composing, orchestrating, just assembling this thing. And so at the end of it, you have something that sounds pretty close to what the final thing will be, but the samples only get you so far. So I thought, you know, I'm trying to think of what singer should I use to replace this sampled melody I have. And I thought, well, I should find out who this, you know, the singer was that recorded the library, because she's a metal singer, which is part of what the other thing is, because she just the way she was like this powerful accents she would do, you know, in the sample library. I thought, I need that person to do it. And I looked her up and found her, and she was wonderful to work with. She replaced all the stuff I had done. And it wasn't just a matter of me, you know, writing a melody on the keyboard, but also, you know, I had written this the same way, using a sample for Einar. Kind of said, here's the melody, and, you know, you just replace it. And he was awesome enough to set all the lyrics to Old Norse poetry. So it kind of took on this whole different life. And so once I had recorded him, and I'm recording Celica, I said, well, you're going to have to do your melodies now, and you're going to have to sing them in the Old Norse language. But it's a matter of kind of not necessarily literally singing it, but phonetically, just to make sure that it, you know, sounds it. And she's from Spain, so English isn't even her first language. So, but she did a great job kind of creating this sound that blended very well with Einar. And, you know, it all sounds very ancient.
Well, the two of them together, it's just amazing. I mean, you can just picture these Vikings, little band of Vikings, standing on this stony beach, sending one of their colleagues out to sea in a boat as a funeral. I mean, some of these songs are just absolutely heartbreaking.
The original pitch was kind of like that the game begins at the end, like meaning this is the afterlife, and you've died as a warrior, and you've come to this place, and you now have to compete with other people to kind of earn your way to Valhalla, the great battle in the sky. And so there's kind of like the very first thought was I should start with a funeral march or a funeral, you know, piece of some kind. And that's kind of, you know, where the, you know, the research took me into Viking funeral music. And, you know, that just opened the way to all kinds of, you know, really interesting sounds and you know, tonalities.
Fristfell is an amazing sounding track because you mentioned it's for a very snowy kind of tundra place, and you've managed to make it sound so chilly. And I'm wondering how you did that. I mean, there's almost like these little icy sounds that are coming in.
Yeah, that's always the challenge of, you know, trying to have music reflect a temperature, and how do you do that? You know, I think the tonality is, you know, there's a lot of very thin sounds, octaves and fifths, and as far as the sound waves being used, there's a lot of like kind of square waves, and it's just very like, you know, you don't have the warmth of like a full major chord with a lot of like very deep, can't even put it into words, really.
It's probably like trying to describe snow, right? I mean, it's just like,
yeah, and how do you
so light, and yeah,
how do you put that into music, and it's not the first time I've had to do it, so I've always tried to find, you know, different ways of, you know, kind of evoking your temperature.
Thank you.
some of the other music that isn't even on the album. There was one that was supposed to be this hell-like place that you go, and it's like these unbearable temperatures and this unrelenting kind of thing, and it's the complete opposite of that. So there's kind of this very uncomfortable low drone that's kind of just crackling and churning and just not stopping, and it kind of throbs in this unrelenting way. What's fun about a game like this, or any game where you're kind of building a world from the ground up, is, you know, trying to give each place its own identity without, you know, without making it sound like any other piece in the game, but also having everything sound like it's all coming from the same world. That's very challenging, but also rewarding when it all works.
Yeah, well, I'll bet. And it totally does with this, which is, and even though I haven't actually had a chance to play the game yet, but listening to the soundtrack just creates all these amazing images. And so in that way, it's also like really effective as just fantasy music.
That's what I love about game music, is you don't necessarily have to play the game to be able to appreciate it. In a lot of cases, it playing the game and hearing the music, it gives you the context and kind of helps you, you know, understand its function and the purpose or the choices the composer made as, you know, why this, why that. But because there are so many different kinds of things you can do during gameplay, the music has to cover a fairly wide range of, you know, emotions and, you know, different actions. So there tend to be more broader statements, or, you know, sort of just like a general feeling kind of music in a lot of cases. So that makes it very work very well with you just listening on its own and imagining and you know, kind of letting it take you where it will, because it's designed to you know, take you anywhere.
Yeah. Well, is this the end of the road now for your music with Rend, or are there going to be expansions and that kind of thing that they will need more music for?
Hard to say. This is one of those things. I would keep writing music. It's one of those games that you know, they said we don't need any more music, and I would keep writing it because I enjoyed writing it so much. Part of the reason why, you know, this album is, you know, has music in it that wasn't in the game and will eventually be put in the game, but, you know, was kind of, you know, I just kind of kept going even after they said that they were done for the moment. As for, you know, needing more in the future, I don't know, but I would certainly love to dive back into the world.
Yeah, that would be very cool for all of us. You know, it can be really tough when there's so much music out there and so much music that people can listen to and have access to really easily. And so it's got to be a challenge when you're kind of an independent artist to try to get the word out with these kinds of projects.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I just want to say thank you to everyone that's, you know, helped by sharing, retweeting, getting the music out there, because like you said, it's these are both self-released albums, self-funded in a lot of ways, and you know, a lot goes into it. And when people when people respond to the music and take it and embrace it as their own and get the word out, it really it means the world to me, because, you know, without you, it's just me sitting alone in the studio making sounds, and that's not as fun.
Well, no, and then we get to close the circle, and I'm sure hearing from fans must be just so exciting and so gratifying to know that you've really touched somebody with your music.
It's incredible. And, you know, seeing like YouTube covers and people, you know, really taking the music and making it their own for a lot of the Blizzard stuff I've done, that's really incredible. And just knowing, it's like hearing, putting something out there in the world and hearing it echo back to you, that's the most gratifying thing I can think of.
Yeah. Well, Neil, it's been so much fun to talk with you about it, and it's been so much fun to hear the transition from the kind of modest chamber music sound that these tracks had 2 years ago to now, this really lush, incredible soundtrack. So thank you so much for taking some time to talk about this and also One World.
Thank you. I appreciate it, especially since, you know, putting out such different kinds of music and, you know, things that, like I said, that nobody asked me to do. But I'm always grateful that people like you listen and have such wonderful things to say. And, you know, I love making music, and I'll keep making as long as anyone listens, and even if you don't, I'll still keep making it.